Out there in podcast land, and welcome to the Front Row Network, the podcast for people who actually like movies. Today we're bringing you another episode of Full Disclosure, and the host of Front Row Flashbacks and A View from the Back Row have taken over. Today we're battling to see who the true king of the monsters is in Godzilla vs. Kong. I'm Jay Hoffman, and along with me are my Flashbacks co-host, Ryan Lutens. Ryan, how are you doing?
I am excellent. I am doing fine. The world is a better place with this movie in it.
Wholeheartedly agree. My other co-host, Aaron McCabe. Aaron, what's going on?
Oh, good. After watching Godzilla vs. Kong last night, got up today and stuffed 280 eggs for a block Easter egg hunt. So I felt very inspired after watching the Titans duke it out last night.
I would say something, but it would be very spoilery, so I'm not. I'll wait to save it for later.
Yeah, you gotta wait.
Save it.
Gotta wait, bro. And the always irascible host of A View from the Back Row, Mr. Steve Sykes. Steve, how are we doing?
Hello. I had a little bit of a delayed reaction to the COVID vaccine earlier today, but I'm feeling stronger, and I'm hoping that it eventually changes me into a kaiju.
It might.
I think the world's ready for it.
I didn't even think of that as an option, and now I'm very excited because I also just got my second dose.
Now I'm patient.
Oh my god, I'm excited.
Springfield area, and you guys are gonna have to duke it out.
We're gonna have to watch all you guys fight on the front row when you turn into kaiju.
Yeah, we're gonna have to have a fight with the Lauterbach man. For those not local to Springfield, it's those lumberjack giant statues all around Route 66, while the one in Springfield, Illinois is by a Lauterbach auto store. So just a giant statue of a lumberjack, and we're going to fight it.
Holding a tire.
He's got a weapon. That's not fair. All right, Ryan, why don't you give us a rundown of the story if the title doesn't give it away?
Wait, Godzilla versus Kong is not about two salesmen trying to get the best sale? All right. Humans try tireless to keep Godzilla and Kong from meeting in the ultimate alpha male battle royale. But these two titans are fated to battle for city-destroying supremacy of Mother Earth. Who will be crowned king?
I don't think there's any more you can put in that story without giving, you know, like any bits of surprise away.
That's true.
That was very non-spoilery. I'm very proud of you because normally you write the best story rundowns with all sorts of spoilers. And it was so.
Yeah, I'm not used to these full disclosures.
Typing a paragraph to three sentences.
It is hard to keep it all in until when we go into spoiler mode.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron, why don't you do that thing you do?
Fun facts!
Fun fact. He would have said it differently. He would have sang it differently.
That's true. If I could have practiced making it sound like Godzilla's roar, I would have. But I just couldn't get the pitch.
Now you have to redo it. You can, no.
It's
I'm
true. She
it.
Sent me several versions of her singing fun facts, and pitch is a struggle for her.
Pitch is a struggle. Now, if you ask my son when I yell at him, he may disagree. I may very much sound like Godzilla or Kong to him. So this movie was directed by Adam Wingard. It stars Alexander Skarsgård as Nathan Lind, Millie Bobby Brown as Madison Russell, Rebecca Hall as Eileen Andrews, Brian Tyree Henry as Bernie Hayes, Aiza Gonzalez as Maya Simmons, Julian Dennison as Josh Valentine, and Kyle Chandler as Mark Russell. This movie had a production budget of $200 million and grossed, you guys explained to me that it opened up a week earlier internationally. So cumulative worldwide gross to date that we know of is $123.1 million. It opened yesterday in theaters in the United States and has thus far grossed $9.6 million. So that's pretty impressive. I think that shows you there's some real diehard fans, even in a pandemic, they're coming out to see. They're coming out to see Godzilla and Kong.
It's good for COVID times, you know.
Totally.
People are ready to go to the movies. I mean, you know, vaccines are rolling out.
What's interesting?
I've been to the theaters, and it's very well done. And it's safe. You know, I've seen a couple movies there. I feel pretty good.
What's interesting is the others in the MonsterVerse. The other Godzilla movies did not do very well in the States.
No.
But I feel like this one has had different advertising going on. It's felt more like a part of the discussion. And I don't know if it's because King Kong versus Godzilla or if it's just big blockbuster, finally something that's big and dumb and we can just sit back and just sit in awe and not have to think for, you know, an hour and a half.
It's not terribly serious.
Is Legendary Pictures the one that did this?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So another thing that is helping the movie, I think, is that we are franchise crazy when it comes to movies, and they've very quietly built this neat little franchise continuity. Excuse me. Starting with Godzilla with Bryan Cranston, and then moving into Skull Island and Godzilla, King of Monsters. So I think that built anticipation too, but mostly we just want a big old popcorn movie.
Yeah.
And we got one.
So this movie, as of today, just became certified fresh on Rotten Tomatoes, correct?
Yep.
Guys? Okay. And so it's currently got a Rotten Tomatoes score of 80 and an audience score of 95%. So one's really, really... it's hitting it with everybody at home, which is awesome. So some fun facts about Godzilla and King and Kong himself. Godzilla stands at 393 feet tall, or 120 meters, which is the same height as in Godzilla, King of the Monsters in 2019, while Kong stands at 336 feet or 102 meters. So he comes in a little shorter. This is the largest incarnation of Kong in history, and both the largest American incarnations and the second largest overall of Godzilla, after the anime version of Godzilla Planet of the Monsters in 2017. When the trailer premiered, the Godzilla and King Kong fan site, Wikizilla, went offline due to the sheer amount of traffic on the site generated by the trailer. This will be the second film featuring King Kong to star Kyle Chandler. Chandler previously appeared in King Kong in 2005. For those of you who don't remember that movie, it starred Naomi Watts, Adrian Brody. Who else was in that?
Jack Black.
Jack Black was in that film.
That's Peter Jackson's big follow-up to Lord of the Rings.
Andy Serkis. How can we forget the guy that played Kong?
Yeah, Andy Serkis.
Oh my gosh, right. Yeah. Man, Peter Jackson likes him some Andy Serkis, huh?
Well, just because Andy Serkis is a good freaking actor.
That too. This film will be released 58 years after the original Japanese King Kong versus Godzilla, which originally was released in 1962. It's released 57 years after the American re-edit King Kong versus Godzilla in 1963. And 66 years after the original Godzilla in 1954, 87 years after the original King Kong in 1933. Was that a silent film?
No.
Nope.
No?
1928, jazz singer. That's when...
Faye Ray, right?
Okay.
That's when Faye sound Ray. Was in.
Whatever happened to Faye Ray?
All right, this isn't Rocky Horror.
Well, as you can see, there is an extensive history with these two monsters. And I'm going to pass it to our man, Steve, to give us a little bit more into that history before we start our discussion.
Well, yes, I need a big book and a pipe. King Kong is arguably the most influential big monster in cinema of all time. Big monsters previous to King Kong were Dracula, Frankenstein, and the Mummy. King Kong comes out the same year as The Invisible Man in 1933, but King Kong is the first big monster that isn't incredibly humanoid. He is a very clearly large enough to hold a grown woman in one hand and battle airplanes with the other atop the Empire State Building. He's the first big monster, and he battles other big monsters while on Skull Island. He is 21 years older than Godzilla. Godzilla is arguably the biggest pop culture icon monster. He is Kaiju, and Kaiju is Godzilla. If King Kong was the first big monster, then Godzilla took big to a whole new level. He wasn't battling airplanes atop the Empire State Building big. He was tear down the whole damn building and come up with an iconic theme song to match big. Godzilla came out 9 years after the bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki and in the midst of the Cold War. King Kong has been in 12 movies, as well as 2 animated TV shows, whereas Godzilla has been in 36 movies, 3 animated shows, and several other TV show efforts involving his likeness. And he's even made his way to the top 40 charts with the song Godzilla by Blue Oyster Cult, later remade by Serge Tankian for Godzilla King of the Monsters.
Awesome. Thank you, Steve. And that's just a little bit. Man, we could probably like talk on and on and on about some of the history. But
yeah,
what I
very well could have his own show because he's watched all the movies.
Not all of them, man. I ain't got that much time, but a lot of them. I'm
we could
so,
definitely
so excited
do a podcast on Godzilla in and of himself for sure.
I think it would be amazing. And well, and actually our call them kind of our sister podcast network after the Hype Network has actually covered some of the older Godzilla movies. And in our show notes, take a look, we'll have a link to those podcast episodes. So if you want to get some words on some of the old Godzilla movies, check those out. But what I found is it seems to be you're either into Godzilla movies, into the kaiju movies, or you don't get it at all. I think what Legendary has done is brought it more into the mainstream with, you know, it's clearly not dudes in suits like it used to be. But they've also kept a lot of the fun that's involved in those movies that a lot of us love. So before we even get to our initial thoughts, I just want to know what's everybody's connection with these monsters, with these movies. And we'll start with you, Steve. What's your relationship with the Godzilla King Kong movie sphere?
I grew up in South Florida in the mid 70s. So picture me on my living room floor, about 7 years old, watching WCIX out of Miami and watching Creature Features every Saturday afternoon. And they ran the whole gamut from the Universal classic monsters like Dracula, et cetera. But the thing that I got into, I was there for the kaiju. And I just adored it as a kid. And then flash forward to Mystery Science Theater's advent on the scene, and they had a field day with the kaiju movies, and that was just a way to fall in love with them all over again. So I think your feelings on Godzilla are directly related to when in your life you were when you first came into contact with the big guy, both the big guys. And for me, it was very young, impressionable age. The new movies have done just a wonderful job rekindling those memories.
Yeah, that's great what you said about when you come into your life with these. The other thing I kind of forget too is how us cinephiles, how involved we are. I had somebody the other day, oh, you like those Godzilla and oh, that old goofy King Kong. And I'm like, whoa, like the original King Kong – it wasn't goofy when it came out. It looks a little goofy now because of the time it came out. That's one of the most influential movies of all time. It's considered one of the all-time greats.
Revolutionary.
But if you're not like a real cinephile, you know, you could see how it might come across that way if you're not interested and knowledgeable on the history and all that stuff. So that's a very interesting point you bring there, Steve. Aaron, what about you?
So, my God, I don't know. The year was 1987. some of you may not have been born yet.
Did you turn 10?
You are the worst. I was 5, still probably inappropriate for me to watch, but it was one of those movies that the older Godzilla movies from the 70s were on, you know, UPN, WGN, on all the time. So as a kid, you know, my brother and I have a history of watching inappropriate stuff on TV, like Bloodsport and Conan the Barbarian and Full Metal Jacket and Godzilla.
Just for the record, Aaron, those are much, much more inappropriate.
Totally Godzilla. Inappropriate. So when most girls, 5-year-old girls my age were, you know, watching like Rainbow Bright and My Little Pony, I was like, hell yes, Godzilla is on. So my brother and I would watch it. And so they were just on TV and we just sit there and we would both together, we don't agree on a lot, but there are certain things that we don't butt heads on. Godzilla is one of them. And so we just grew up watching them and it being a big deal, us loving the old black and white films. And, you know, they were just fun and exciting. And then all the monsters. And then when Nintendo came out, we got a Nintendo in 1988. And one of the, after, you know, obviously the original games, very quickly after that, there was a Godzilla game. And so you could play and you had to fight your way through all of the monsters. So we played that, I mean, forever. We loved it. So this is a very, very, it's nostalgically near and dear to my heart for those reasons. And then every time a movie comes out, you know, it's an opportunity for my brother and I to be like, all right, did you see it? You know, last night I was texting him like, are you watching this? And all hyped up and stuff like that. So it's just a fun bonding experience. So yeah, that's how Godzilla came into my life. There weren't a lot of Kong experiences, if I'm honest. I just remember like the 1970s and the 1980s movies being on, like kind of in the background, but not as prominent in my memories as Godzilla.
So you mentioned the Godzilla video game, but not Donkey Kong as inspired by King Kong.
Exactly. I mean, I remember that was more arcade though. Like you had to go to an arcade to play that. This was like in my brother's room, like trying to steal the Nintendo, like from each other. It was more accessible.
Perfect. Well, but then later,
you're right. Donkey Kong.
Well, and then later there was Rampage, another arcade game, but it's basically a version of King Kong, a version of Godzilla, and then like a random other monster that they threw.
Like a werewolf.
There.
Werewolf.
Yeah. Yep. A giant werewolf.
You know what? It's funny. While I was watching the film, there were a couple moments where I was like, this is Rampage-esque. I dig it for sure.
Or Rampage was Godzilla King Kong-esque. Nick Tatopoulos. I mean, Ryan.
Let me tell you about a little film starring Matthew Broderick as Nick Tatopoulos, the worm guy, and how crappy that movie is compared to all the other Godzilla movies. But unfortunately, you know, that is when you think Godzilla, that is the movie that sticks out to me because that's what I watched when I was young.
I'm sorry.
Thank you. You know, traumatizing childhood memory number 67. Having that movie as my Godzilla, but no, then, you know, you have got Godzilla 2000 and you're actually starting to watch, you know, starting to get into the lore of Godzilla and you watch things here and there, you know, you catch them when they're on Turner Classic Movies or AMC Monster Fest. And you actually appreciate what those movies are compared to the crap we got in the 90s. You know, but then, you know, just seeing those movies evolve, especially with, you know, a great film like Shin Godzilla. And it's just unbelievable that this is someone who has completely defined, you know, cinema in terms of monster movies and continues to influence cinema in the terms of monster movies. I mean, I don't think we'd ever have the term kaiju if it wasn't for Godzilla. And that's a word used heavily in movies like Pacific Rim. The first one, the second one can go away. You know, it's just one of those things where, you know, this is, it's all a guy in a suit and it's so believable. And now we have CGI, which we'll talk about. And King Kong, you know, I remember watching, again, like on AMC, you know, Fright Fest, but the Jeff Bridges, you know, 80s remake of King Kong and banging my head against the table because, you know, it's a good movie, but it's just so bad. It's so bad. You know, but King Kong by Peter Jackson, I remember we finished finals. Yes, Aaron, I was that young. We finished finals, so we went to go catch it in the afternoon to watch it cheap. And I remember the whole theater was filled. Filled. So King Kong is just as much as an impact in terms of adventure and, you know, monster movies as Godzilla does. These two are iconic, and putting them on screen, this is like the second or third time that they've done it. And, you know, I wish there's going to be more, but I remember sitting in the front row because that's all we had. Ha ha, front row. See, plug. But I remember leaning over to my friend Robin and I look at him, I go, is it me or does that monkey look a lot bigger than he's supposed to? So, but yeah, I mean, I just love these movies. They're fantastic. They're just great escapism, and that's what they're meant to be for. So, Jay, what's your connection?
Yeah, mine's kind of similar to everybody's. It was when I was young, but definitely it was like at my grandma's house that sticks out the most. My grandma Betty, she had a very distinct way of watching us kids. It was a very, if it's warm, we're going to the park. We'll grab a pizza from Domino's and you go get whatever movies you want from the video store. One, this is when video stores existed. Two, this is when video stores actually had like everything. Like if you would have gone in the last 10 years, they only have new movies. That's when they had everything, wide selection of stuff. And they had all the Godzilla movies. So pretty much every time I was like, well, obviously we're going to the Godzilla aisle. Right. So it was watching Godzilla movies there. And then I have one of them is one that I watched and I wrote to you guys endlessly on our message thread about my daycare had one. I don't know who I watched.
Your daycare
it.
Sounds like I would have really liked it in 1987.
but it was Godzilla versus Megalon, which I just rewatched. And it's an hour and 21-ish, 25 minutes, something like that. It's a very short movie. It's an hour of, I don't know what the story was. And then like 25 minutes of probably my favorite Godzilla fight of all time. So I really wanted to watch that before we did this because I very much remember that one because of Jet Jaguar, who is the giant robot. Because yeah. Godzilla was trying to riff on Ultraman, a Japanese show at the time, was a giant robot. So they were trying to get their piece on it. So that's mine. But then it's so funny that you bring up the 1998 one, right? Because honestly, in all this, I keep forgetting that one even exists. Like, it's not even like,
as you should,
it's not even on my radar anymore. And for this, not even for this, really for King of Monsters, I was really excited because I thought my daughter would like it. So we started kind of watching some of them. Then we watched Godzilla vs. Mechagodzilla and Godzilla vs. Mothra together. And I've made them sit and watch some of the old. We watched Godzilla vs. Kong, which I own on Blu-ray, as you all should. And then for this one, I tried to hit a smattering of different Godzilla movies. First, I wanted to watch the original because I'd never seen it. And to get into some of that history, the first Godzilla movie called King of the Monsters is actually the Americanized version of Godzilla. And they had to change it because, like Steve said, 9 years after Hiroshima and Nagasaki, middle of the Cold War, this was very much a parable about the powers of those types of weapons, the destructive power of those weapons. And it, man, I, I was shocked at how good of a movie it was. I thought it was going to be also it's from 1954, so yeah, it's a little cheesy, but not because it's a dude in a suit, just because it's 1954 and it's, you know, the best they had at the time. Mm-hmm. But it still looks really good. The theme song is incredible, and it's through most of the Godzilla movies. And I forgot the composer's name, but it's a phenomenal theme song. And man, was that super, super impactful. And then I watched a few others just to try to get, I watched Destroy All Monsters. That's like, there's like 10 different monsters from the world. That's the Moonraker of Godzilla movies. It's bonkers, space travel, aliens. It was crazy. And then there's a battle royale at the end. Then I just watched today Godzilla vs. Destroyer, which is why I made my name in the Zoom chat, Destroyer. It was made in the 90s, Ryan, and it's pretty awesome. It's pretty awesome, actually. And it's still it's amazing. They kind of renewed themselves in the 90s and 2000s. The 90s, they kind of made this more serious version of these movies with guys in suits, but it's like balanced, part serious, part funny, and man, it works really well. Then the 2000s, they went bonkers. And then Ryan mentioned the movie Shin Godzilla, which I actually think is probably the best Godzilla movie there is. Never seen it. You should see it. It's the most bonkers looking Godzilla you've ever seen. He's got crazy powers. I watched it and I was just, it like blew me away. I've never seen a movie like it. And it made bureaucratic disagreement action packed. Like, so this one, and the reason it worked so effectively, the first one was about, you know, nuclear weapons and all that stuff. This one was about Japan's reaction to the nuclear power plant where they had the fallout and how they just kind of, the government kind of fell apart. And this is the government kind of falling apart as Godzilla comes through. So it's really impactful because of that allegory. So it's really amazing, I guess, to me that Godzilla can cover, it can be serious, it can be a great parable, it can be the most psychedelic, it matches Steve Sykes' psychedelic tie-dye shirt he's wearing right now, man, far out stuff and everything in between. And now we have this new MonsterVerse, which just is absolutely gorgeous to watch, but also maintains all those decades and decades of fun. And then like Ryan, King Kong, I got more into him later too, you know, with the Peter Jackson one. Then I went and watched the original, and I think it's a different bird. Godzilla has this history where it moved into the cheesy, and King Kong's one, I think that when it gets remade, they try to handle it a little differently than with Godzilla. I don't think they've ever tried to remake it into that cheesy schlocky stuff other than Godzilla versus King Kong, but that was made by Toho in Japan. So that's a long extended my history and a little extra history, but man, I love these freaking movies and I'm so glad we're having this.
Just to finish out your one story, the main theme of Godzilla was composed by Akira Ifukube.
Yes. And you should look up,
released in 1954.
You should look up those songs. They are you know them both. There's two songs that stand out. There's the one that's like, oh crap, Godzilla's coming. Then one's almost like a march song where the military's coming to battle him. And you know both of those songs. You may not think you do, but I promise you, you do. And they're phenomenal. So
it was the one they played it in the credit or in the opening credits of this movie. I think they played both, right? In the opening credits.
I looked up the soundtrack to this one. They only play the bam, 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 bam.
Yeah.
They have like a techno metal version of that one in this one. But the other one's dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, that one's really incredible.
Yeah, that's not in the movie, unfortunately, which might be a gripe later on.
Can we have Aaron sing fun facts to that?
Fun facts?
Oh, but the music's fantastic.
No? Okay. All right, fine.
No,
all
right. Not.
Let's move into our spoiler-free initial thoughts, and then we'll spoil away. Let's start with you, Ryan. Spoiler-free initial thoughts.
I, as you guys know, I'm a huge Oscar fan, and whenever I watch a film, I always try to say, hey, this movie's going to be nominated for something. Hey, this movie's going to win something. If this movie does not win Best Visual Effects next year at the Oscars, I might hurt someone, like, badly. It might be Jay. I don't know, but...
I'm on your side here, pal.
I know. He agrees with me. but no, this movie was beautiful. This movie played more to the Titans than it did to the humans, which these are what these movies are for. But this, it was just very beautiful to watch. It's an hour and 45 minutes. It gets right to it, you know, and it's just, again, it is so seamless with the special effects that it just makes watching the movie that much more fun because it's watching art. I mean, it's just, when, you know, we see that image of Kong and Godzilla on the aircraft carrier and, you know, Kong's throwing a fist. It's in the trailer, Aaron McCabe.
Okay, fine.
And it's a classic picture. Okay. That's the picture that they use to sell the movie. Again, the marketing. That shot is just so beautiful. Like, it's like you could put that in an art gallery, I'd buy it. So, just very beautiful. Adam Wingard really nailed the movie and the essence of the movie while maintaining his horror roots. I just thought it was very well done.
All right, Aaron.
So, I obviously have a history with Godzilla, but I, over the last, you know, 5-6 years, I've had kids. Working, all that jazz. I have not kept up with this latest installment of the Godzilla Monsterverse. So I have not seen the other movies. I've maybe seen pieces here or there. So I had an opportunity to catch up, but I actually wanted to go into it blind as someone who has not been up to speed with it and see what I thought. And I had a lot of fun. I had a great time. It was a fun movie. It pays, I think, very respectful homage to all of the films. And it was just, it was a lot of fun. And like, it was a great popcorn flick. And this movie is, I understand why it's doing so well at the box office. This film is made and deserves IMAX. It really does. So, you know, if people feel comfortable and they feel like they can responsibly go see it in the theater, I would highly, highly recommend a theater viewing experience with this film.
Yeah, I saw King of the Monsters in IMAX, and it was awesome. My daughter hated it, though. She thought it was way too loud.
Yeah.
I'm like, I know, right?
There's just something about when King Ghidorah is flying and he fills the whole screen. You're just like, oh god!
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, yeah, awesome. I like. So you had a good blind take on it, huh?
Yeah, I did. I think it goes. I think though, here's what I'll say. My caveat to that is, Jay, I think you hit the nail right on the head. Like, I appreciated this movie and I had a good time because I have a history with Godzilla. But I think the history with Godzilla is what makes it a good time. I think if you're completely blind, this is not the kaiju movie you walk into. I think that there's too much backstory and there's too much baggage, for lack of a better word. You know, if you're walking into a kaiju film and like completely not having any experience and you go see the first Pacific Rim, I think that one's easier to just walk into. And yeah. Be like, oh, okay. Whereas this, I feel like that history just builds the relationship and you're going to get more out of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Steve, what about you?
Well, I took the absolute opposite track. And in the week before I saw Godzilla versus Kong, I watched the Godzilla with Bryan Cranston and the Kong Skull Island and King of the Monsters. That one I had not seen up until this week. The other two I had seen before, but I wanted to revisit them all and reimmerse in the mythology and everything. And those three movies I enjoyed a lot, no doubt about it. However, Godzilla versus Kong is like in a different universe in that it's the purest homage, as Aaron said, to the 60s and 70s Godzilla that we grew up with. And in that respect, it's just wonderful, nostalgic fun. There are plenty of nods to those Toho movies and the classics of creature feature and whatnot. To touch on something else that's been said, just a beautiful film to look at. We'll get into more specifics when we hit the spoilers, but I agree that this should be the leader in the clubhouse for visual effects. And beyond just the special effects, just the look of the film, the style of the film is so wonderful, so entertaining.
Yeah, I'll bounce off the effects. Just, I mean, think of whatever movies in the last, you know, handful of years with good effects. I think this has them by a football field in quality. I mean, I think it's that good. This is, Ryan said it's a painting, right? There's parts of this that look like a painting. And I think that's such an interesting thing. Can you take this thing where a lot of the fun is the cheese factor, turn it into one of the most beautiful movies you're ever going to see? Will it lose its fun? And I think the answer is no. I don't think it will lose its fun. I think this movie was super fun. And what was interesting too, it was various types of things. You can see it in the trailer. You know, there's a nice day battle. There's one at night in a major city, and the lighting of that city is just super awesome, and it's just really awesome how it bounces off the fight and Godzilla's fire breath and all that stuff. So I loved it. I think that's an interesting thing, Aaron. It's like not even a thing for me to fathom that somebody wouldn't like one of these movies. our guilty pleasure host, you know, I said how much me and Ryan were talking about how much we love King of the Monsters, and he was like, we're like, what? What are you talking about?
You call yourself a guilty pleasure host?
And I'm like, last year that made my like honorable mention for best movies of the year.
Oh yeah, it did.
So I also loved it. So if you have not yet seen it, this is when we're going to cut it off. We're going to spoil not a whole lot to spoil, but we're going to spoil it. So we'll give you, I'm going to count down now. 3, 2, 1. Mecha Godzilla's in this movie.
Wait, Mecha? I watched the wrong movie, guys. Just kidding.
Mecha Godzilla gets his head ripped off.
Oh, yes.
Awesome. Jay, you called it, man. You called the team. You called the teamwork.
I knew they were going to do Mecha Godzilla. Come on.
Well,
but Jay called it. He called the team up.
Well,
I just said it was going to be a team up movie because I told you in the group, nobody would be happy if Kong killed Godzilla, and nobody would be happy if Godzilla killed Kong. These are our guys.
Equal parts rage, like the Last Jedi rage. Like it might have been that rage if you killed one of them, like where someone would have been so outraged because they felt like half of the people would be like, this is amazing, and the other half would be like, no. So there was really no winning.
Wait, was rage King over Kong? The best Star Wars movie?
Yeah, hold on, wait. King Kong is Luke Skywalker?
I hate The Last Jedi.
Well,
King Kong is Superman, and Godzilla
The Last
is
Jedi,
Batman.
We're not going to get off subject, but The Last Jedi is my Nomadland.
Oh, my God. So, favorite scene.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh man!
But Godzilla, though.
I think Steve was making an actual comment.
Right. I like Steve. Run with it. Run with it.
Do it.
Oh, I was just saying that as far as Titans beating up on each other, this was tons more interesting than Batman versus Superman.
Yes, I think we can all agree there.
Well, and my favorite meme going around right now is Godzilla or King Kong laying on the ground, and Godzilla, "You never were a monster. You never were a king." And then Godzilla dying says, "Save Mothra." "Why'd you say that name?"
That's brilliant. And yeah. I think somebody has done that.
Meme going around the internet right now.
Oh, that's
every
so
time
good.
I hear Mothra, I think Biodome. Come back, Mothra. Come back.
Well, let's do this, because I think for me, you know, just the movie as a whole, there's some goofy storyline that goes in with the humans, which is that's par for the course for Godzilla movies. There's always
a
goofy plot.
Yeah, there's a goofy. The plot is Alpha versus Alpha. Let's get to the battle. One thing I will say, as far as the human stuff, the flying ships that they use to travel mm-hmm. through the Hollow Earth were mm-hmm. super rad looking. Like, they looked really cool, and they didn't look like anything else I'd seen in a movie.
You mean the giant defibrillator?
Yes.
Oh my god!
Which
it did
also
look like a
that's
giant defibrillator.
Super not how defibrillators work, but that's
definitely not.
Very controlled. I won't get into it.
But it did look. I know what you mean. I know what you're saying. Nico.
Luckily, defibrillators don't depend on a gravity well to work. So we're in good shape there.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
I almost said Middle Earth. Hollow Earth.
Same thing.
My gosh. Talk about gorgeous. I have no words, which is unusual for me. It was just beautiful.
Yeah, that was interesting. Is the center of the earth like a, is there like a sun down there? I couldn't.
It almost seems like it.
The liquid hot magma.
That's like, magma. I mean, okay, so here's, speaking of Hollow Earth, I thought one of the things this movie did really, really cleverly was kind of like weave in conspiracy theories and stuff like that, because Hollow Earth is like, there's flat earthers, there are Hollow Earthers too. Those people exist. So
look this up later, because I've never
get them a case.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, that might be a spiritual community kind of thing. But like
Verne group.
I thought they did a really fun job of kind of like taking the conspiratorial aspects of society, but weaving them into like a real story, you know? So obviously you've got Dr. Lind, who writes this book about Hollow Earth, and then everyone's like, he's the freak. Like, he's now like super unsuccessful, and they're like, can't believe that guy. And then he ends up being completely right in this like beautiful, gorgeous land. It was like, you know, I thought that was really fun. And I love my favorite character in the movie was it Bernie Hayes,
the conspiracy podcaster. Yep.
He was great. He's the only character that felt developed in any way, shape, or form.
The podcaster was your favorite character, huh?
He was. Yeah, podcaster. You know what? I'll bite at a conspiracy theory pretty much any day of the week. So he was great. I loved it though, how he was like, one question, fluoride, and she's like, no, or tap water,
yeah.
No. There's fluoride in that. Like all this stuff. Like, and he held up the cell phone, and he doesn't even have a smartphone. He has an old flip phone. I'm like, dude, this is great. This is amazing. This guy, he was rad. I loved him, and he was funny.
Surprise me at all.
And the other thing that I loved about that character is that it seemed to me a tribute to the Japanese movies, where there would always be the comic bumbling, slightly overweight, nerdy guy that was there to provide the comedy relief.
Yeah.
Very reminiscent. Ryan, okay, just call it like it is.
Ryan, or Nico. Yeah. And so it's little things like that where they carried on the spirit of the classic movies. Not even related to the main fighting monsters, just all the little details like that. And yes, I did like that character. My favorite character, though, well, they were all my favorites, but the girl Maya?
Gia.
That talk. Yes, thank you. That talks to Kong through sign language. And that's why we have just a little mini crossover with View from the Back Row. I was like, for the longest time, I was like, is she just deaf? And there's no reason for, oh no, she talks to Kong. Okay. That's why she's deaf. But it, she, her face is just radiant.
No, and, she's precious.
Yeah. So that was great.
You know, this is, you guys are missing the best person in this whole movie.
Godzilla?
No. I wish we had more of this guy, but he essentially stole the show for me, and I just wish there would have been more, and I wish there would have been more of the sidekick. But honestly, Damian Bashir as Walter Simmons, just sees bad guy.
Oh, he was the moment a great you see villain. Him.
Yes, he's the guy that he is the human villain. He owns Apex Technology, whatever, but they're the ones that build Mecha Godzilla, but they are being seedy, like when Aaron asked the thing about the skull crushers, like, and eggs, that's where I was going with that. Like, dude is just, you know, being super seedy, you know, and I told Jay this, I wish that we would have had, like, Charles Dance come into this, and they and Damian Bashir had some type of interaction where, you know, Damian shows that he's the true villain, and he's the one that drove everything from King of the Monsters. But, you know, Godzilla's not a bad guy in this movie. He is just doing what he does. He is the King of the Monsters. So when he attacks the Apex base in Pensacola, it's because he senses Mechagodzilla. And that's where that eye, we see the eye when Bernie is looking, you know, at all the destruction. So he's just doing his job. Let's not, Godzilla's not a bad guy here. He's just angry because he's trying to do his job and he just can't find the thing he's supposed to kill. So, you know, why, I don't get why the Godzilla hate on that. But, you know, I just.
Who among us has not been in that situation?
Right. Just pissed off, you know, want to get your job done so you go back to your Hollow Earth and take a nap.
Mm-hmm.
Can I ask a question? The previous, fine. I like to reclaim my time. In the Godzilla movie, in the previous movies, obviously everyone is kind of like a captive to like the Titans fighting. But is it ever just like we have to eliminate Godzilla, or are they just like, we just got to let this dude be and it'll be fine?
That was like a lot of the first two movies.
I would like to take this one.
Hang on.
David Strathairn from No Man Land. David Strathairn from No Man Land. He's the one that wanted to kill him in Godzilla King of the Monsters with an oxygen bomb.
Yes.
But there was also Ken Watanabe, who's all like, I better not do the impression of Price on racist.
Let them fight.
He has such a great voice, though. That's all I want to do. The
impression.
Yeah, he does. Ken Watanabe is one of the most underrated actors ever.
Yeah, yep. He's the one who says, "Let them fight. Let them fight." And so there's both of it going on. Both of it going on.
Okay, all right. I just was I was curious because obviously Simmons. We get the impression that they are trying to kind of
market all things.
They're marketing
Titan.
It, yeah, and they're trying to provoke him or like insidiously provoke him to gain public support for what they're gonna do.
And they do that with Mechagodzilla. Hey, look, we built this.
I love how like the plan for using Mechagodzilla to defeat Godzilla under the guy's control lasts for like 15 seconds.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Classic villain move.
Yep.
I mean, Apex has the other head of King Ghidorah and they're using Sarazawa's son, which is probably the biggest sham of this whole movie, but I'll get to that in my improvements. But they have King Ghidorah's head, and that's what causes Mechagodzilla to go haywire because there's this power source. Now we're getting into convoluted plot lines of a movie that's not supposed to be make sense anyway.
I don't know. I listen, it's convoluted, but I think it's very much in the spirit of Godzilla.
I had fun with it.
Right. Like, I mean, there's literally movies like of Godzilla the being able to read minds around,
and like, things like that. Sure. That's yeah. littered throughout Godzilla. The Mothra twins, which is like one of the weirdest things in all of Godzilla.
I mean, Mothra in and of itself is one of the weirdest.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
so, I don't know.
It all makes sense.
You're like, fine. Again.
Well, now that Ryan stopped. Oh, maybe he hasn't. Now that Ryan stopped talking. one thing I'll say with the character, Simmons, that you love, I also loved his character in Wonder Woman 84. He was really good.
Very Max Lord vibes. Very Max Lord vibes for sure. I was going to like, are they going for an 80s villain thing? Because it's working.
Very similar villains. But he was man, he was hamming it up in such a great way. I do agree. And then when Mechagodzilla turns on him, that's just wonderful.
He went out the best way possible.
Yep.
Well, let's do this. Let's go around. I want to know everybody's, you know, couple favorite scenes. We'll start with you, Aaron.
My favorite scene. Ooh, I think that I'd have to pick. I think I'd pick the sea fight, because that one. Well, first of all, I am, you know, I feel a lot of feelings and I'm pretty sensitive, but I didn't realize that how I guess queasy and squeamish kaiju gore was going to make me in this film. I was like, wow, I really can't take anything. And it wasn't even that bad. You know, I think Starship Troopers is worse, but it was, I loved the sea fight because I felt like the sea fight for me caused a lot of visceral tension. And like, just let his arms go, like let his, you know, everything. And I love that when a scene can really grab you and hold you like that. And I felt like it did the whole time, like, you know, the whole being underwater and being pulled down. And obviously, you know, there's more movie to go, but like, how's this going to work out? And the ships are tipping over. And it was a lot of awesome chaos that created a very visceral experience on top of being visually stunning.
So it's kind of funny what you say, because my daughter, not on the gore stuff, but like the emotion stuff. My daughter's a total empath, man. Twister. Too. She lost it after the first scene. Is like, I can't watch this. She's eight, and during that scene, she was kind of laughing, but she was also like, I really didn't think I would cry in this movie.
Oh, girl, me too. I cried too. Don't think I got out of this movie without crying.
I'm like, I think it'll be okay.
Oh my gosh, when Kong was like home, when he signed home, I was like, ooh, like there were tears for sure. No, I'm definitely empathic. So, but that, I would say that scene was one of my faves. What about you guys?
Cool. Steve?
I'm going to say the other fight, the fight in Hong Kong, just ridiculously gorgeous. And gave me an anime vibe too, which was a fun extra bit of flavoring. One thing that they definitely have learned by this time is how to shoot a monster fight. And rule number one is don't make it all take place in the dark. That frustrated me a little bit with some of the earlier movies, that it's like, what's going on? And both the sunset lighting of the sea battle and the, you know, neon wonderland of Hong Kong, you don't lose any detail. And you're talking about the effects and how good they are. With people that have seen the old movies with the guys in the big rubber suits fighting, we'll appreciate even more how realistic, as much as you can say that this fighting action was. It had weight, it had scale, and I think the Hong Kong fight was like the pièce de résistance of that.
Yeah, that those neon lights, I'm with you on the anime vibe that was thrown out. It just looked so rad with that whole city lit up. And if Hong Kong looks like that, I super want to go to Hong Kong now.
Yeah, all that was missing is if they would have put like the Weeknd's blinding lights on top of it.
There you go. That actually sounds awesome. And I'm sure there's a version on YouTube.
For sure. For sure. And if there wasn't after this, there will be one.
There you go.
Right, were you Ryan? Guys kind of bummed at all that it didn't take place in Japan? Or no? I was like, oh, kind of wish it was in Japan, like to pay full homage. I mean, it was beautiful, but I get it. I understand why they chose Hong Kong.
Yeah, and the very first Godzilla movie did of this MonsterVerse took place in Japan.
Oh, they did?
Japan.
Okay.
Yeah, so awesome. So they'd already kind of covered that territory.
Japan's like, not us. Not again. Yeah,
just stop it.
Pick another island.
We're a small country. Just stop.
Right.
Ryan, what was your favorite scenes?
I've talked a lot, so I'm just going to be very brief here.
I was just kidding.
No, but because it's already been said. The scene, the battle at sea, beautiful. But more importantly, even when they're underwater, was spectacular. Definitely got a lot of a Jaws vibe, just the way that they showed Godzilla. You know, with the plates, or even like him coming up to surface. Definitely got a lot of Jaws vibe. Love that. But even when Kong is trying to get back up and get back to air, and you know Godzilla's behind him, and it's just great. You know, there's another horror aspect that Wingard really, really did effectively. But no, the other thing I want to say, my other favorite scene was just Godzilla battle, or not Godzilla, King Kong battling the bats, these new monsters in Hollow Earth. I just think that was a very unique way of showing Kong's dominance, especially of him coming into Hollow Earth and just showing that he's the best. And it's fantastic. But other than that, I don't know why nobody said this before. Jay, I don't know if you're going to say it, but Flying Kong is the best. So I'll leave it at that.
Flying Kong?
Yeah, when he loses the gravity when he jumps off, that was really, probably another thing that I think could be a painting. It was so beautiful. Flying Kong.
What about you, Jay?
Well, I'll riff off of Steve's and say the kind of aftermath of Hong Kong when Mecha Godzilla shows up. And when it turns into the team-up movie I've been telling people it will be. One, I like being right, so it felt so good. But also, I just loved watching Godzilla and Kong. There's a part that looks straight WWE, and I mean that in the most complimentary ways.
Yes.
Where each one has an arm and they ram its face into a building. And yep. I loved every part of it. I loved Godzilla supercharging the King Kong axe made out of one of like Godzilla's spine things. And I really, really liked that scene. And then the other thing, not necessarily a scene, but a thing I really liked that I thought paid great attention to the history of each character. And one of Toho's rules with using Godzilla is he doesn't emote. He's emotionless.
Yep.
He's a force of nature. He is there to correct things when nature is out of balance. But that is not Kong's story. Kong is a tragic figure. He's a dude that just wants to be left alone, live his life in peace, and everybody just keeps jacking with him.
Oh my God, no one will leave him alone.
Like, that's every story with Kong. He's always a tragic figure. He's a monster because he's turned into a monster.
Yeah.
And I thought they did a really, really good job of that. Kong is super emotive. I was like, oh my God, they could do a crossover with the new Planet of the Apes.
Oh my gosh. I was feeling a lot of feelings with him.
With King Kong. So very, very emotive. And then not Godzilla. Like, it's roar and attack, and I'm out of here. You know, there's no emotions in his face. And what I
feel like they did have a moment, though, like after the Mechagodzilla fight, I felt like, you know, like they locked eyes and it was like a little bit of a nod, like, okay.
Yeah.
And then that's it. I was like, all right, I'm always here for the nod.
We're even.
I read an article that said, you know, Toho has had a few conditions, and one of them was that Godzilla does not emote. He does not show any type of emotion. And Adam Wingard was like, how can I do this? Oh, I'll make him smile with his eyes. I'm like, Godzilla doesn't smile with his eyes.
He doesn't smize.
He doesn't smile with his eyes. Okay, smize. Like, never caught that. Like, but I'm really glad that we got to see more of Godzilla's eyes. So I think that's what he was going for. But yeah, it was fantastic.
In Godzilla vs. Destroyer, Godzilla cries. So probably, it's not totally true.
Probably by that time. You lied to me in that article.
I love it.
By that time, he has to be lugging around Godzilla Jr., and that really cramps his style. So,
yeah,
that's it. That's
Baby Godzilla. I can't believe we talked about Baby Godzilla.
But that's what I just I really liked it. But you're right. At the end, they kind of shared this little like, and what I like too is the way the series goes. They make it seem like Godzilla's like centuries and centuries old, and King Kong is maybe 100, you know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. in the scope of Titans, he's like a baby boy. Mm. So I thought, cause I don't know if you guys agree, but I felt like Godzilla got the best of pretty much every battle. Kong held his own, but I think Godzilla, you know, stomped on him pretty good.
Into
the characters of who they are historically. And I think it played into, buddy, I'm the old dog on the block. And like, to me, all the other Titans are what humans are considering gods. And to me, like, Kong is like, I'm just this really big, strong dude that can hang with gods. Because he has emotions, he has feelings, and he doesn't want to get in any of this. He just wants to be left alone.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I really, really dug that part for some reason. Any other scenes we didn't talk about you guys wanted to mention? All right. What improvements you got? Ryan, you're making big eyes. You got improvements?
Yeah, I think one of the most underutilized character is Serizawa's son. They definitely could have done a lot more to drive. And I mean, the story is very straightforward. And not, I mean, it's not trying to be a story. It's just trying to tell a fight movie. But Serizawa's son is the brains behind using the neural network of King Ghidorah to power Mechagodzilla, mm-hmm. and he's in it for 5 seconds. He's in there, you know, he says a few things about Mechagodzilla. He's essentially the one controlling Mechagodzilla through the neural network and ends up dying because the power source causes an overlord, which causes King Ghidorah to take over Mechagodzilla and leads to that fight. I think they could have drawn out his character more, you know, and again, this is not a movie you go see for the characters, but you could have given the movie a little bit more of a character with dad worked.
Mechagodzilla is tearing down your internet lines right now.
Bummer.
Doesn't like what you're saying.
Thanks, Mediacom. Oh God. Anyway, sorry. But yeah, that's I just felt like they really underutilized that one.
Okay. Steve?
My only gripe, if you can call it a gripe, with the film was the whole thing is goofy. All right. We expect goofy going into it. But there are just a couple of details that it's like, really? Like how Team Millie Bobby Brown essentially penetrates all levels of a super cutting edge, secure biochemical lab by prying a panel off a door.
And so from that, no one's guarding.
Yeah. Yeah. And from then on, it's just, you know, have the run of the place.
They really got to do whatever they wanted.
Yeah.
It's like, oh.
But even that was so evocative of the B plots of the old Godzilla movies, where the kids would improbably be able to get right up on the action and do the thing with whatever's. And the only other thing along those lines that struck me was King Kong must have played some video games in his time, because he immediately knew that he had to place that glowing axe right on that impression in the ground to unlock the gate and start another cutscene. That was kind of interesting to me. But again, it works. It all works. So I don't know if you would call that an improvement, but it's just more proof of what you're dealing with.
Aaron?
I don't really have much, but I'm not really sure why Kyle Chandler was in the film. He says about five lines that continuity. Are pretty unnecessary.
He's like a main character in King of the Monsters.
No, I know that. It's just for him being a main character. I mean, he literally had like the thinnest role.
Reason for being even there.
He had, even for continuity, but he had a thinner role than the guy who was the brain power for Mechagodzilla.
So I think there's an answer to that, though. Like, King of the Monsters was extremely subversive to the Godzilla community. Some people really liked, some didn't. And the big gripe was too much people talky-talky. Give me more monsters fighty-fighty. And so I think that was probably just some of the guidance that they got when making this is, if you're going to trim, don't trim the monsters, trim the people.
People.
And I'm going to... Kind of
character. Go ahead, Steve.
I'm sorry. I was going to push back on the whole continuity thing, because didn't they completely recast the mom? His wife?
Spoiler, Aaron. She died.
She died.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what? Spoil something else for me, gentlemen.
Thermal nuclear Godzilla. Oh.
Why wasn't Tom Hiddleston in this?
He'd have been an old man.
Yeah.
Did that happen in like the
50 years prior to this movie.
Okay. I mean, I'm not complaining about Alexander Skarsgård, but Tom Hiddleston's like my guy.
So here's why Kyle Chandler works. He represents Monarch. He works for Monarch. Mom, you know, she was with the terrorists. She died, but
he's at work all the time, letting his kid run around with strange conspiracy theorists.
Well, she ran away, but it's one of those things where, he's there as moral support, I guess you want to say, for Millie Bobby Brown, mm-hmm. but the guy who plays Serizawa's son, like, you could have had more development of his character, why he was working for the enemy and things like that. Now, we did talk about cutting character. Lance Reddick plays Mark Russell's boss, and he has, like, one scene with Russell in Hong Kong. But that's what Jay was talking about. Like, they just cut him out completely because they wanted to focus more on the monsters.
Mm.
So Chandler's warranted, but when you introduce a new character like this, like the Serizawa son, I don't even want to – I can give his name an attempt here. It's Shun, or I'm gonna butcher it, so I'm not even gonna try. He's a great actor, though. You know, he just had that presence, but they just completely undermined it and what they could have done with that plot. So
Shun Oguri,
yeah, terrible with names. Anyway,
all right. For me, improvements, not much. I would have liked to hear what I called, I don't know the name of it, Godzilla's March. I would like to hear that song in this. They've done so well with bringing such some of the just really tiniest Easter eggs from different things into this MonsterVerse. I just would have liked to hear that song. And honestly, I want 10 more minutes of them fighting Mechagodzilla.
I
could have used more of that. I get it. It was it was Godzilla versus Kong, not, you know, handicap match versus Mechagodzilla, but I would have liked to see that a little bit more. But other than that, I'm good. This satiated my kaiju thirst. This is what I was looking for.
Also, a great soundtrack. They really did an awesome job with the music choices.
Yeah, they did fun music, especially the early scenes with Kong.
They did such a great job humanizing him.
And I think that, too, that goes back to Kong Skull Island. There was a lot really great, fun, late 60s, early 70s rock and roll soundtrack on that one. So it kind of tied into that. But what I'd like to do is move into the MonsterVerse and just the MonsterVerse. So just the legendary gods, the 36 Godzillas, 12 King Kong. My God, we couldn't pick those. But of the four that we have in this new story, Godzilla, Kong Skull Island, Godzilla King of the Monsters, and Godzilla vs. Kong. I wanted to see where you guys place them. How do you guys rank them? Start with you, Aaron. Oh, wait, you haven't seen any of them.
I'm gonna take some bench and listen to your guys' ranking.
So Godzilla vs. Kong, Godzilla vs. Kong, Godzilla vs. Kong, and then Godzilla.
Oh, so that's a clear winner.
Yeah. If you're rating them on in terms, well, Godzilla versus Kong is the best. But if you were rating in terms of traditional movie dynamics, Godzilla from 2015, the first one in the new MonsterVerse, would probably be really close. Because that had a lot of emotional impact and some great acting that elevated a monster movie, basically. But, I mean, in terms of fun and entertainment value, there's just no comparison. Godzilla versus Kong is amazing.
Yeah, I loved it. I think I would say my favorite... And I'm going to say it's close. Maybe I like King of the Monsters a lot more than other people, but I'm going to say Godzilla vs. Kong, then King of the Monsters, kind of reverse order, quite frankly. Godzilla vs. Kong, Godzilla, King of the Monsters, Kong, and then Godzilla. But I think I like all of them. And the first Godzilla is a little bit more of a, it's not a big, dumb popcorn flick. I mean, it is, but it's also a pretty smart movie. Mm-hmm. A lot of suspense built into it. Feels like a very well-crafted movie. Not saying these aren't, but in the sense that it was trying to make a little bit more of a serious movie than what the rest of the series. So it kind of stands out in a way from the rest. But yeah, I think Godzilla vs. Kong is my favorite. And I think the only reason it beats King of the Monsters for me is because they did trim some of that human interaction out. There was just too much of it in King of the Monsters, but I really, really like King of the Monsters.
Right, you know, it's interesting.
Because I was just doing errands.
I thought that was yours, man. So no. We moved on.
No.
No, I'm the same as you, except mine is Kong Skull Island is switched. I think that's just a great all-around adventure flick and a kaiju movie all around. So Godzilla versus Kong, Kong Skull Island, Godzilla King of the Monsters, and then Godzilla. You know, Godzilla's on the bottom just because when you pay to watch a movie, that Godzilla movie, you want, Godzilla versus Kong, all the Godzilla time instead of Godzilla.
I think he is Mecha Godzilla, the way your voice is starting to sound from that internet.
Make sure his eyes
I'm sorry. I'm working on getting better internet.
This is what happens after the vaccine. He's turning into Mecha Godzilla.
Just you wait, Jay. I'm coming for you first.
Oh.
I think it's worth noting, as far as the 2014 Godzilla, the director of that was Gareth Edwards, who also directed Rogue One. So that seems like a name. Obviously, two really good films. We should be on the lookout to see what he's doing in the future, because he's got a pretty good track record.
Oh, yeah.
I'd throw Monsters out there as one definitely people need to see that he did. That's, you know, more or less a kaiju movie, but they're aliens.
And the other filmmaker, I didn't know this until we were mid-podcast and I was looking this up, but the director of this movie, David Wingard, I don't know.
Adam Wingard.
He also did one of my favorite horror movies of the last 10 years or so, You're Next, which is a completely different vibe from this. So he's got some versatile chops. It'll be interesting to see where he goes from here.
So, and I think Ryan's on this too. I've been following this director for a long time. He did bits on the horror anthology VHS and the ABCs of Death. And then he did Your Next. He did the Guest. Is The Guest? Yes, The Guest. He did a Blair Witch sequel reboot that did not get very good reviews.
Except best one out there.
I really liked it.
Yep.
So this dude is like one of a handful of directors, because I think there's this thing where a lot of later in career prestige directors get their start in horror. So he's one of these horror guys, because Ryan and I are big horror guys too, that I've been following for a while. So when I saw his name, I was like, oh, I was like absolutely thrilled and excited when I saw him. So I'm with you on that, Steve. Your Next is fantastic as well. Quick question. Anybody have any other Godzilla viewings just for the maybe non-initiated to try and initiate themselves?
Yes. Nick Totopoulos here. Don't watch
Don't follow movie. His advice. Don't watch that version.
Jay, you no. need to pitch Shin Godzilla.
Don't watch the 1998 version unless you want a sweet Puff Daddy and Led Zeppelin song.
Soundtracks, right?
Unless you can get your hands on the Riff Tracks live show where they roasted the 98 Godzilla, which was hilarious. I saw that one in the theater, and it was just hilarious.
I remember my brother being 14 and campaigning. He was on a campaign for it to win Best Picture for Oscars, and we were like, no, it's not happening. It's not. We know you love Godzilla, but like you don't understand. You're blind how bad this movie is.
Well, I'll throw mine out for the uninitiated. I'd watch the original, the Japanese version, not the Americanized version. Watch that. Really quite a powerful film. I would suggest watching the original Godzilla vs. Kong. This is where it's the kind of the stupid fun starts to kick off, and it's dumb, but there's still like a storyline. It's it you're able to follow it. Mm-hmm. I would then suggest one I talked about earlier, Godzilla vs. Megalon, to see how truly stupid and ridiculous some of these movies are. I mean I laughed almost till tears for 25 minutes at the end. The fight scene is so hilarious. Fast forward, I would say Godzilla Final Wars, if you want to see how absolutely bonkers and bananas. There's mutants, there's mutant humans, there's aliens, there's about every different kaiju and Godzilla's rogue gallery, and it's off the wall crazy and still a lot of fun. And then I say, before you start this to really find the love, I would say you have to, like, it's a must watch movie, Godzilla or not, Shin Godzilla. You gotta see it. You've never seen anything like it. It's weird and crazy, and the monster and Godzilla looks weird, and I have not stopped thinking about that movie since I watched it forever ago, and I need to revisit that one as well. So that way you get the smattering of different Godzilla, you know, what's good, what's cheesy, what's bad, what's crazy, because it hits all those different notes. Does anybody have any final thoughts on this?
Watch it. It's fun. Yeah. It's what we need. It's mindless entertainment. They took the COVID time to make this movie beautiful, and it is just that.
It was not rushed like Cats.
Still waiting for that particular cut.
Yep, yep.
What cut? I'm waiting for that cut on this movie.
Oh my God. Wow.
Wow. For those of you playing the home game.
All right. Well, I think that brings us to our wrap up. Steve, you got anything to plug coming up here?
Well, on View from the Back Row, our two-parter looking at the Unbreakable trilogy is up and available for your listening pleasure. Larry Smith came on the show, and he was a delight as per usual. Next up, we will be looking at Avatar. And Jay will be joining me, and I'd like to invite Ryan and Aaron to come along for the 3D ride if you're so inclined. But that should be an interesting look.
All right. Aaron, what do we got coming up on flashbacks?
Well, we got First Contact Day. That's coming up for all you Trekkie fans out there. And we'll have Star Trek First Contact dropping on April 5th for its 25th anniversary. Then we have Oscar season coming up, Ryan's favorite. So we're covering the Best Picture winner from 30 years ago, Silence of the Lambs.
Awesome. And the Flashbacks team is not yet done with full disclosures this month. We are also going to be doing a double breakdown of Mortal Kombat. We're going to talk about the original, and we're going to talk about the new Mortal Kombat and see how they pair up against each other in a battle to the death.
Get over here!
That was really good.
Steve, you got to come on just for the sound effects.
No opinions, just sound effects randomly.
Steve, that was the most perfect timed get over here ever.
Like, okay, we don't actually want you to contribute, Steve. We just want you to sit in there and say, get over here. And
I'll be your human soundboard.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
Finish him.
All right.
As Aaron mentioned, it is April 1st when we're recording this, which means that it is Academy Award month. April 25th is when those award shows are going to happen. So the Front Row is getting ready for our extensive coverage into all things Oscars. I know we're going to be doing our the Row guesses, so we'll be doing that. But we're looking at maybe doing one big show to talk about all the movies that are nominated for Best Pictures. More to that to come. The Screen Actors Guild Awards are this Sunday. And then it's the final road to the Oscars, so be on the lookout for that.
All right, and like he said, it is April 1st. I don't know if my compatriots can read this paper I'm holding. My daughter gave me a hug and taped a piece of paper to my back. And it says nerd, but it's spelled like beard with an N, so she's calling me
beard.
So you're a nerd with a beard.
That's exactly what I said.
That's accurate.
So on behalf of all of us here at the Front Row Network, thank you for listening, all you fellow nerds, and we will see you all in the front row.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Front Row Network, a proud Community Voices member of National Public Radio, Illinois. For more from the Front Row Network, including our articles or our other dozens of shows, visit thefrontrownetwork.com or nprillinois.org/programs/frontrownetwork. You can also find us on social media by searching for the Front Row Network on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram, and on Twitter @FrontRowReviews with a Z.